But we find that good and evil are both relative to each other. Out of good evil arises, out of evil good arises. And good is partly evil and evil is partly good. All things in the world are such. It's a multicolored existence. It's not black and white, this is good and this is evil. If you examine the world, you find it's a multicolored existence in which the same color gives some kind of tune, tone of another color. So the original must be itself mixed. If it is mixed, why should individuals strive for complete elimination of pain? Pain is evil, which is always mixed with pleasure. How is it that human beings have a tendency to eliminate pain altogether if it is always a mixture? And if our whole human being is a result of that action, which is mixture, then how is it that human beings, they want to eliminate pain altogether? If the very constitution of a being is a mixture, why does that mixture want to eliminate one element out of it? That would be impossible to explain. Human beings must be able to say, well, let me have some pleasure and some pain. I like both of them together. But you take any pain experience and you say, I want to eliminate altogether. This is the tendency in our being, to eliminate pain altogether. Not only that, but there are religions like Jainism and Buddhism which don't accept the existence of God, but who maintain that ultimately you can arrive at a point where evil and pain and suffering can be completely eliminated. Now, if there is a possibility of a complete elimination, it means that the ultimate should not be mixture. It must be without any mixture, then only you can attain to it. Or there must be somewhere something where mixture doesn't exist. So if at the root there is no mixture, then the question is, how does this mixture come about? At what point? What is the law? What is the method? What is the process by which this mixture comes about? And these non-theistic religions have no answer at all to this question. Their answer is, we find that the world is full of mixtures. Secondly, that these mixtures can be cured. And there is a process by which the cure can take place, and ultimately you arrive at a simplicity where this mixture doesn't exist. If you ask those questions which I asked, they say that these are questions which should not be raised. They don't deserve to be raised. Or you may say even that they are not answerable questions. And then you are turned back and you are asked, do you want answer or you want a cure? Choose between the two. If you ask an answer from me, I'll simply say it is unanswerable. But if you want a cure, I can give you the cure. So why do you worry about the answers? This is the logical position that they take. When the thorn is in your flesh, do you ask the question, what is flesh, what is thorn, what is pain, how did it come about, You simply want to take out the thorn and throw it away. Therefore, you have just a problem in your life, and I only want to give you the remedy. So Buddhism and Jainism tell you that we have the remedy. You take it out, and it can be effectively taken out. And both Buddhism and Jainism do give you the medicine by which you are cured. But the intellect of man raises a deeper question. That it is true that you have remedied me. My thorn is gone. But if I knew what was flesh, what was thorn, how do they come into conjunction with each other, maybe that I could have found out a better remedy than the remedy that you are proposing. And maybe that the kind of bliss that I am getting now could be of a different kind, of which you are not aware at all because you are not inquiring into this question. So if I inquire into this question and find out really the origin of all this, maybe that the remedy that I will come to will be much greater remedy than the remedy that you are proposing. This is where the Vedantic answer comes up. To say that these things exist by themselves, that they are there, you just take them for granted, is not a satisfactory answer. So there is a need to go deeper and find out a deeper answer to this question. So we come back again to the proposition that reality is one without the second. Reality is good. Reality is omnipotent. Reality is just. And yet there is this pain, yet there is this suffering, yet there is this evil. And all the answers that have been given so far are all unsatisfactory answers. Then what is there a satisfying answer? If so, what is that satisfying answer? This is the problem. I think we shall stop here today because we only wanted to enunciate the problem. And next time we shall see how this problem can be further refined. Because even this problem which is presented so far, and all the arguments that are so far delineated, they still have some kind of wooliness. They are not really fully spun out as fine as they ought to be. So we shall again spin further and put the question even much more bluntly and much more forcefully. Because it's only when the problem is put forcefully that the real answer can be found. So that is the task of the chapter number 11, and then the answer is also to be found in chapter number 12.